Eternal Father, of whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, unite us as we worship here with all who lift hands and hearts in prayer to Thee across this nation and in every part of the world. Strengthen us that we may grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Correct us and guide us by Thy Spirit, that the words and deeds of all our days may be acceptable in Thy sight, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us read responsively selection 63. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God.
Not of works, lest any man should boast.
Not of works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing
which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior.
That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. We are very glad to have as speaker on this missionary day Dr. and Mrs. W.R. Wagoner. Mrs. Wagoner, will you please stand? Thank you. We are happy also to have members of the staff of the Kennedy Home. We would be very pleased if these friends will stand. Mr. Rodney Beals is pastor of the church there, an alumnus of this school. Mr. John Thompson and colleagues, we are very grateful to you for your presence here today. We have also Mr. Dennis of Charity and Children. Will you stand, please? We are delighted and pleased that you are here. We have looked forward with pleasurable anticipation to the visit to this campus by Dr. and Mrs. Wagoner. Dr. Wagoner is a native of Forsyth County in this state, a graduate of Mars Hill College. He earned the BA degree at Wake Forest College, the BD degree, the THM degree, and the THD degree at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary at Louisville. He has done graduate research at the University of Louisville, at Duke University, and at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. He served as pastor at Chapel Hill, at Winston-Salem, and at North Wilkesboro. And since July 1, 1958, he has served with great effectiveness and distinction as president of the Baptist Children's Homes of North Carolina. He brings to this work a sensitive concern for the well-being of children and youth. He has a strong, informed, dedicated mind, and he knows how to make sound decisions, and he has the courage to carry responsibility for them. Now let me be more specific. Dr. Wagoner knows how to identify the purpose and the objectives of child care in our society. He is able to bring together competent and compassionate people whose insights and labor are essential to the attainment of these objectives. He sets the example of systematic and thorough work. He does all of these things with a profound sense of dependence upon the goodness of God and in the spirit of the Master of Galilee. It's a high personal pleasure to welcome him to this campus and to present him as our speaker. He will speak to us after the end.
Dr. Binkley, members of the faculty, students, and friends of Southeastern Seminary. After this most gracious introduction, I think I could best fold my tent and go home while I'm ahead. You can well appreciate what it means to me, administrator of an agency, to have serving on our Board of Trustees a man like Dr. Olin T. Binkley. I'm deeply grateful for the invitation to be here, the very warm and gracious welcome which has been extended to Mrs. Wagner and me. Dr. Binkley, you're not at all like the young man about whom I heard who took his little dog to the veterinarian and said, "I want you to bite my dog's tail." Veterinarian performed the operation, brought the little dog back, set him down in front of his master and said, "How do you like that?" He said, "I don't like it. You didn't cut his tail short enough." Veterinarian performed surgery a second time and brought the little dog again and set him down in front of his master. Said, "Now, how do you like that?" He said, "That's just like I wanted it. No tail showing." The veterinarian, not to be outdone, said, "Sir, will you tell me why you wanted this dog's tail cut so short?" He said, "My mother-in-law is coming to my house next week, and I don't want any sign of welcome around my house." Mrs. Wagner and I find it a joy and delight to be back on these grounds, which I best remember as a student from Wake Forest College days. As I come to this experience, I am aware of the fact that I am deeply indebted to members of the administrative staff and to several members of the faculty of the seminary for a variety of meaningful relationships in former years. Particularly am I indebted to Dr. Binkley, who was my major professor while a student at Wake Forest College and also at Southern Seminary. He's now in his fourth term as a member of our Board of Trustees at the Children's Homes, and as you well know and would expect, he has made and continues to make a tremendous contribution to the life and ministry of this agency. Likewise, I'm indebted to a large number of students and former students of this seminary for your support and that of the people of your churches, of the agency which I serve. In coming today, realizing that in the years ahead, you're going to be related either directly or indirectly with child care ministries, wherever you might go among Southern Baptists, I want to talk with you a few minutes about modern-day child care in a rapidly changing society. The church today is challenged by new frontiers in providing services for children, for youth, and for adults. Those of us here have observed firsthand the great contribution which the church has made toward alleviating suffering and misery. But in spite of all that is being done today, hundreds of thousands of our country's children and youth are suffering today. These conditions pose new challenges for our church. It shall be our purpose in the time that we have together to examine the responsibility of the church in providing a wholesome child care ministry in a changing society. A scribe came to Jesus one day and ask him, saying, "What is the first commandment of all?" He answered, saying, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first and great commandment. And the second, which is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." We see immediately that the love about which Christ is speaking has two approaches. The first approach is to God, our Heavenly Father. The second approach is to our fellow man. Jesus loved God with all his being, for God was his Father. God had given him life. God had given him opportunity. God had given him strength when he was weak. God had given him peace within his soul. At the same time, he loved his fellow man just as dearly. He was never too tired to go the second mile. He was never too busy to help the person in need. He was never selfish with God's entrusted love. He never ceased to have compassion upon others. Christ's philosophy of life and his relationship to others can be summarized in three broad concepts: recognition, consideration, and care. Recognition of the sacred worth and value of human life. Consideration of the hopes, needs, and aspirations of others. And where needed, the best in care for those who need this kind of assistance. This, too, is our philosophy of child care among Southern Baptists. Turn again and read the four Gospels. Note the amount of time that Christ spent with poor people, underprivileged people, neglected and forgotten people. We see immediately our mandate from God through Christ to minister to the needs of people, if we are to be true to him, to his gospel, and to his way of life. It was under the impact of the life, teaching, and ministry of Christ, and under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that Southern Baptists during the last half of the 19th century became awakened to the need for providing services and care for children. Their concern was further enhanced and the need underscored by the large numbers of children left fatherless and the families that were left destitute as a result of the war between the states. Mississippi Baptists were the first to establish a home for children in 1864. By 1900, 12 other Baptist state conventions had opened homes for children. Between 1900 and 1973, 9 other state conventions entered the field. Today, 21 Baptist state conventions own and operate 34 homes in which each year more than 7,500 children are provided a Christian home and way of life. These agencies hold assets in excess of $55 million. Child care among Southern Baptists has grown to be a sizable and significant ministry. But we cannot rest upon our laurels, nor can we take lightly our continuing responsibility in the field of child care and family relations, a responsibility which is being rapidly compounded by the current social, economic, and moral revolution. We're living today in the midst of the greatest revolution known to man to this time, a revolution which has far-reaching implications for all people of the world and in all areas of life. I want to say four things about modern-day child care as practiced by Southern Baptists. In the first place, modern-day child care is concerned about contemporary family life. Conditions under which people live and work are important. There has been a rapid growth in our population. Approximately 74% of our people are concentrated in urban centers where families have migrated in search of employment in an effort to relieve poverty and suffering. In too many cases, removed from relatives, friends, and familiar surroundings, they are met with disappointment, disillusionment, and added misery. Their limited education and training for industrial employment on an automated labor market gives little promise for better days ahead. Divorce, separation, desertion, illegitimacy, poor housing, unemployment, illness on the part of parents create the situations out of which many of the children come needing care away from their own homes today. Our society is in grave trouble. The shocking accounts of child abuse, neglect, starvation, emotional disturbance, mental illness, juvenile delinquency, crime, and violence are stark reminders that our society is sick. These facts carry strong implications for the church and its child care ministry. We have cause to be concerned about contemporary society. Many of the children whom we serve are victims of the society in which we live. Changes which are taking place today are creating pressures and problems for the American family, which in many cases are overwhelming. In the wake of increasing industry, the growth of cities, the population explosion, overcrowded living conditions, the general movement of people, coupled with the impact of secular society, families are breaking under the strain. There is much yet to come. Short of a much greater spiritual vitality than is now evident, our homes, churches, schools, agencies, and institutions are not ready for this great challenge. We're concerned about the low moral standards of home life, the lack of mutual love and respect between members of families, the prevalence of drinking, the use of drugs, the growing numbers of unwanted, undisciplined, unloved children. These are they who are being permanently damaged by circumstances in life over which they have no control. Every child has three basic fears: the fear of being mutilated, the fear of being deserted, and the fear of not being loved. Many of those whom we serve have experienced all three of these in full fruition long before they come to live with us. On the positive side, those of us in child care today are concerned that Christian forces join efforts to strengthen the home, that family life be anchored in God. Without question, the greatest challenge confronting Christianity in America today is the home. Whether it be evangelism, missions, or education, the American home is our greatest opportunity. We shall join hearts and hands with all positive Christian forces in an effort to place the proper interpretation upon marriage and family life as one of the original institutions of God, sacred in nature and holy in purpose. We shall continue to proclaim parenthood a divine trust, a sacred privilege, filled with tremendous responsibility and wonderful opportunity. In the second place, modern-day child care is a product of the changing times through which we are passing. Probably no ministry of the church has developed and changed so radically in the last 30 years as the church-related program of child care. For many years, most of the children served by children's homes had lost one or both parents by death. An increasing number of children being served today come from broken homes. Let me state that again. An increasing number of the children whom we serve today are coming from broken homes. Some of these homes are broken by death, others by mental or physical breakdown, desertion, separation, divorce, alcoholism, long-term imprisonment, incompatibility, and many other causes. These are circumstances over which children have no jurisdiction. We're serving a different type child with entirely different problems today. An orphan can accept death as an act of providence, because death he can see, nor does he have to debate it or to explain it to himself or his friends. It is very difficult, on the other hand, for a child, particularly a young child, to understand why his home is unstable or why his parents should be unable or unwilling to care for him. Children coming out of broken homes often bring with them a great deal of hostility, resentment, and bitterness. Neither is it unusual for a child to feel that he, in some way, contributed to the family breakdown and carries a sense of guilt for what has happened. More recently, child-caring agencies are being called upon to serve the alienated adolescent, the child who can no longer get along at home. He's at odds with his parents and they with him. He needs help and his parents need help before they can live together again. The neutral setting of a children's home and the assistance of a professionally trained staff working with parents and child can in many cases help to resolve the conflict. Again, there has been a basic change in the philosophy of child care, a former concept, that of orphan care, was to sever all home ties and to keep the child at the institution for the duration. This was difficult for all concerned and afforded little opportunity to help the family. Children were often lost to whatever family they had. This is no longer true, particularly in the better agencies, for professionally trained personnel are used to interpret and meet the needs of the children and members of their families. The child is helped to understand the nature of the situation and why it is necessary for him to live away from his own home. We have in the far western part of North Carolina a member of our Board of Trustees who, during the Depression years of the 1930s, along with five brothers and sisters, came to live at Mill's home at Thomasville. During the 11 years of his stay, his mother was privileged to come on one occasion to visit with her six children. they got home only on rare occasions. That doesn't happen in child care today as we practice it. We're working with whatever members of the family might be available with whom to work. We help our children to get back home at all the holiday seasons, a vacation period in the summertime, and at least one weekend each month. And on another weekend each month, we encourage relatives to visit on the campuses. In addition to that, we make arrangements now for children to live together, brothers and sisters, in the same cottages, making home life as nearly natural and normal as we possibly can. The best possible plan of care for the child is determined. Members of the staff help the child to accept the plan, move through placement, work through problems, frustrations, to make decisions, and finally sees him return home or to society. This is a process whereby the child is enabled to face reality with constructive guidance and help. Child care workers are making a significant contribution in the field of family counseling and rehabilitation. Many families at the point of breakdown are saved, and some already on the rocks are reconstructed. Through family counseling and rehabilitation, many children are spared the necessity of leaving home, while others are privileged to return to reestablished homes. The cost of child care has more than tripled in the last 15 years. Expenses are up because of the increased cost of living and the corresponding rise in living standards. Better trained and more highly skilled staff is required. More attention is being given to the enrichment of life for children through worship, recreation, music, arts and crafts, visitation, encampments, travel, and extracurricular activities. Programs of child care are becoming increasingly difficult to finance. Competition for the support dollar is becoming keener in our denominational family of agencies. Income from church gifts is not keeping pace with the increase in the cost of operation of denominational institutions. Many of these agencies are in serious trouble, needing more adequate financial help. I would pause here to express appreciation for Baptist in North Carolina, our Baptist State Convention in general, and for the very generous support received by our agency from these sources. The burden and challenges of these changes fall upon the agency and the supporting constituency. For the agency, it means more highly trained and skilled staff. It necessitates the utilization of all the resources available in an effort to meet the needs of the child and his family. For the supporting constituency, it means sufficient resources with which to work, to provide professionally trained and experienced staff, and both freedom and encouragement to explore better and more effective methods of child care. To meet the challenge of our day, a statewide denominational child caring agency needs to provide a variety of quality services for children and their families. The following are simply suggested. In the first place, there is need for a strong program of group care. There will always be large numbers of children who cannot be placed for adoption and who cannot adjust in foster home care. These need the neutral setting of a group care facility. We have in our state group care facilities situated at Mills Home Thomasville, Kennedy Home Kinston, Odom Home Pembroke, Greer Home, Chapel Hill, Wall Home, Wahlberg, Broad Hill Home, Waynesville, and a home for unwed mothers in Asheville. Currently, we have a dialogue going with groups of churches in four of our major cities, out of which may come in the future an off-campus group home in which to serve children having special needs. Second, the program of group care should be supplemented with a strong foster home program, particularly for preschool children, for those who need the close one-to-one relationships, and for those who have need for specialized help. Three, family services, including family counseling, readily available by well-trained and competent social workers, can do much to prevent family breakdown and can assist in family rehabilitation. Four, there is increasing demand for treatment-oriented services. We absorb as many of these children on our campuses and in our program as is possible. There is a limit to which we can go. At least 5 million children in the United States are estimated to be emotionally disturbed to a handicapping degree. All the residential treatment centers in the country have a combined capacity for less than 10,000 children. For hundreds of thousands of children, their community provides no formal helping resources whatsoever, not even special education in public schools. Thousands of them are sent to correctional training schools when actually they need skilled psychiatric care, which is not available to them. Five, consideration should be given to a program whereby churches are encouraged and helped to establish weekday programs for preschool children. We congratulate Southeastern Seminary for the work which is being done in this field. For many churches can provide wholesome experiences of spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional development in nursery school, kindergarten, and daycare programs. This can mean much toward undergirding and strengthening family life, particularly in situations where it is necessary for both parents to be gainfully employed or where it is not possible for one parent to give constant care to the children. Six, services to unwed mothers and their offspring should be a vital part of a progressive child care program. This, as it suggests, presupposes a strong program of adoption for adoptable children. Seven, better care should be provided to children having special needs, such as retarded children, members of minority groups, and a host of children who, with proper care, can be rehabilitated. Eight, referral services. Referral services should be utilized freely in a child care agency. The most valuable assistance that can be rendered in many situations is that of helping people to avail themselves of already existing services. Nine, undergirding all of these services, there is need for a strong, well-trained, and dedicated staff of social workers strategically located throughout the state, readily accessible to the people who need help. In our case, we have workers living and working out of centers in Waynesville, Asheville, Charlotte, Thomasville, Raleigh, Kinston, Fayetteville, and Lumberton, with plans for others in the future. In the third place, in modern-day child care, to accomplish its purpose, there are six things that a church-related children's home must be and do. First, it must be a living demonstration of love, compassion, and understanding in all of its relationships. Secondly, its services must be of excellent professional quality, proficiently administered, and closely linked to other services in the community. Thirdly, it must be a leader in discovering, recruiting, and training leadership, which has an appreciation for the church and for Christian social services, and which can be an effective spokesman for both. Fourthly, it has the responsibility of acquainting itself with the social, economic, educational, cultural, and spiritual conditions that exist and how these affect the lives of people. Fifthly, the church-related children's home, with the best professional help available, should evaluate itself regularly and be ready to make whatever changes and adjustments are necessary for the changing need for services. Sixthly, as a denomination, we must, in due course of time, determine what we'll do with the challenging opportunities which have been thrust upon us. We can respond by default, or we can respond with acceptance. We can continue to build a strong child care ministry that is worthy of the church, or we can, as denominations have done in the past, refuse the challenge and remove from the field. Fourth and finally, modern-day child care as provided by church-related children's homes among Southern Baptists is a Christian ministry. Any way you look at it, it's a ministry of evangelism, missions, education, conservation, rehabilitation, love and affection, Christian teaching, Christian discipline, and undergirding it all, it's a ministry of redemption. And we believe a ministry close to the heart of our Lord. Hundreds and thousands of people across the years have made tremendous investments in child care ministries. There are those who have given their lives. Others have given time, prayer, interest, and means. I doubt that we have among us a ministry which has been appreciated or enjoyed more on the part of those who have made it possible. Stories told of a man who was walking along a country road in the far western part of North Carolina on a weekday some years ago, who was stopped and held up by a robber at the point of a gun. The robber demanded his money. He reached in his pocket, pulled out his pocketbook, and handed to the robber without any hesitation. He said, "Is that all the money you have?" He said, "No, it isn't, but you're not going to get the rest of it. You can shoot me, you can kill me, you can do whatever you want to. This is money that was given to me to get to the Thomasville Orphanage." The robber thought a minute. His expression began to change. His mouth dropped open. He said, "Thomasville Orphanage, that's Baptist, isn't it?" The man who was being robbed said, "Yes, it is." The robber reached in his pocket and pulled out a big roll of bills, peeled off four or five, handed to him, said, "Here, take this and add to it. I'm a Baptist too." These investments have borne rich dividends in the hearts and lives of those served. I had not been with the children's homes very long until I had occasion one afternoon to call a lovely young lady into my office to talk with her about a prospective scholarship to Wake Forest University just shortly before her graduation from Thomasville High School. She was one of four children who had come several years before to live at Mills Home. They came following a prolonged illness and death on the part of the mother. There were actually eight children in this particular family, and the decision was that the four younger children would come to live at Mills Home, while the four older children remained at home with the father, who was a textile worker. This little girl, soon after reaching the age of accountability, made public her profession of faith in Christ and was baptized into the fellowship of our church on the campus. She became an active member of the church. She was a leader on the Mills Home campus, likewise a leader at Thomasville High School. There she was a member of the National Honor Society. She participated in the high school glee club, was a high school marshal, played the leading role in her senior play. Her senior year was voted beauty queen, homecoming queen of Thomasville High School. Later, she received a full Hankins scholarship to attend Wake Forest University for 4 years. Not that she was an orphan girl, not that she had lived at Mills Home, but because of her Christian character, her scholastic ability, and her potential possibilities for future leadership. She's now married to a very fine young man of another denomination, married into a family of considerable means. God has blessed this union with two precious children. She came back to the campus and the church that she had learned to love as a little girl to be married. 2 days before her wedding, she was heard to make this statement: "I have to stop ever so often to pinch myself to see if this is really me. A little insignificant orphan girl, yet with all the wonderful opportunities and privileges which have been mine." We talked about a number of things in my office that afternoon, but I shall never forget her response to one of my questions. I called her by name and said, "Have you been reasonably happy during your stay here?" Big tears welled up in her eyes, yet with a smile on her face. She said, "Dr. Wagoner, why do you ask me that question?" "I've been very happy, for this is the only home I've ever known. I was too young when my mother died to remember her or anything about my family." Then she said, "There's something I want you to do for me." She said, "I want you to tell North Carolina Baptist and other friends how very, very much I appreciate all that has been done for me and made possible to me." Now, this kind of testimony can be borne again and again by hundreds and thousands of boys and girls, now men and women, for whom a Christian home and Christian way of life has been provided. Now, I hasten to say that we're not always this successful, for we fail, and we fail miserably, as we many times do in our own families. But you can be assured that we have tried. I live daily in the light of three covenants. I need not try to explain to you what a covenant is. But a covenant is a relationship between God and man, and as far as God is concerned, it is not changed. The first covenant relationship in my life was established when I was a little boy, 8 years of age, when I made public my profession of faith to follow Christ as he would direct throughout life. I try to keep that covenant up to date, even of this hour. The second covenant relationship is with Mrs. Wagoner and our three children. And I know I do a very poor job here, but I try to be a good husband, companion, and father of our children until God by death shall separate us. The third covenant relationship is with the Baptist Children's Homes of North Carolina. Against the backdrop of the spiritual dynamic of more than a million North Carolina Baptists and other friends, with the help and support and planning of a Christian Board of Trustees, the finest staff that we can bring together, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, so long as I am chief executive of this agency, we're determined to keep this a Christian ministry, one that can have the undivided loyalty and support of our people, and one that will be worthy the blessings of our Lord.
We thank Thee, our Father, for the continuity of life and for the opportunity to participate in the growth of children. Let Thy blessing come abundantly upon Thy servant who has ministered to us today, and upon all who seek to welcome, to understand, and to appreciate children in the Spirit of Jesus Christ.